Welcome to the Better Workday podcast, hosted by Niamh Moynihan. Each week, Niamh shares tips, tricks, and insights to help you have a better workday. In today's busy work environments, it can be hard to set aside time to have one-to-ones. But Niamh, why is it important to have one-to-ones in the first place? And how can we ensure it is time well spent?
Hello, hello. Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. How are you doing? I am in excellent form this week because even though it's raining and it seems to be raining all the time, I am heading away for our long weekend to the sun on Friday. So if you have yet to book a break away from work or book a holiday away, this is your reminder. If you do nothing else today after listening to this podcast, I want you to go in, take a look at your weeks and find some time off. But today we're not talking about holidays, although I will be covering that in an episode in the next couple of weeks. Today we're talking about one-to-one meetings and how you can make them really, really effective. Because I don't know about you, but when people ask me about meetings and their value, I always have to say, it depends. It depends on who's doing the meeting, how much time we have, and nearly always how much preparation we have completed. So if you are a manager and if you have one-to-one meetings with your team regularly, this episode is for you. And if you are someone who has one-to-one meetings with their manager, this episode can also give you some really good ideas to make the most out of that time. I want to start by looking back at three different types of one-to-one meetings I've had over the years. And if you don't know me very well, I've spent 14 years in the corporate sector prior to Better Workday, and most of that was in tech. And way back at the start of my career, I do remember the one-to-one meetings was one of my first managers and they felt like a task drill. So the manager would typically turn up late, rushing from another meeting. They were very, very busy. They had a lot to do. And the one-to-one would include us going down through every single item I was working on to understand what the status is, what the next steps are, you know, what's involved. Is there any problems coming up or anything like that? So it was very, very micromanagement in style and left very little room for conversation because there were so many tasks to be discussed. And usually when I was in those type of one-to-ones, my requests were covered as I rushed out the door and while my manager had to get ready for their next meeting. And so I felt that these one-to-ones were never really for me. They were all for the manager and for them to understand what's happening in terms of my work. And while that's fine, I mean, that's no problem at all. We need to understand where the work is at. There was no way for me to flag things or to raise concerns or to have a conversation around things I was struggling with, which inevitably led to issues coming up later on. Now, after a while, obviously I changed jobs a few times, changed companies, and with it, I experienced different managers. And the next one that stands out to me was a little bit different. So we would have our one-to-one meetings every week. And this manager, he was always on time and very, very open, but with all the best intentions in the world, in terms of we had an agenda, we knew what we were planning to discuss, the one-to-one would always start with the latest fire, the latest urgent issue, the latest thing that people were shouting about. Because I was getting more senior, so was my manager. And so anything important to him was usually coming from the top. And all of our plans, all of the things we wanted to be discussed would usually be pushed to the side until this urgent thing or this fire was addressed first and we had a plan for that in place. And then after that, we'd go back to the agenda. But usually at this time, we're running short on time. So we'd kind of skip around things and talk about whatever stood out the most, which often led to a few emails after the one-to-one saying, oh, by the way, we didn't get a chance to discuss this, but... And a lot of email back and forth happened. Again, I very rarely had a chance to talk about, you know, my own personal development or things I was struggling with. But this manager was quite different. Like, even though we were always busy, I always knew that, I suppose, he cared and that he had my interests at heart. So we would have separate meetings, less regularly, maybe once or twice a quarter, just to check in with how I was doing. And so while this wasn't ideal, it was definitely better. And I felt that, you know, I knew what the purpose of the regular meeting was. And I knew that I had time separate to that. The only downside was because we were always on the back foot in terms of discussing the fires and the urgent requests, that some of the other stuff would slip through the cracks, and then they would in turn emerge as urgent issues a few weeks down the line. So it wasn't ideal, but it definitely was better. And then my third experience just before I left corporate was very different again. And I have to point out at this stage, this was 12 years after the first example. So I was at a very different stage in terms of the job I had, my experience, you know, and the level of trust that my manager would have in my work. And these one-to-ones, they were every 2 weeks, so they weren't as frequent. They always started on time and always opened with the same question: how are you, Niamh? And I remember being a little bit taken aback first, because there just seemed to be so much space in this meeting. It was wide open for me to discuss whatever it is I wanted to discuss. And having been so used to being reactive and following the list, the first few one-to-ones, I wasn't really sure what to talk about. But what was great about it was we would only cover maybe 2 to 3 items. They would be linked to my quarterly goals, so it was the most important stuff I was working on. And we had plenty of space and time within the session to really have a conversation and, more importantly, identify the next steps or the support that I needed to continue moving forward. So although it came late in my career, it really did show me, I suppose, the different way that you could have a one-to-one. And I felt very much listened to in those sessions, and I felt very secure in the team, and I felt very supported. So it was fantastic. But as I said, that was a full 12 years after the first experience. And I know that different jobs and different levels of experience need different levels of management support and guidance. So not all one-to-ones should be the same. In fact, if we try to make them all the same, I think that does people a disservice at the different stages of their career. But I do think that there are some things that we can do at a foundational level to increase the quality and the value and the effectiveness for all one-to-ones. But before I get into them, I have to say that a one-to-one doesn't replace the other forms of communication. So managers, you do need to still be available for urgent issues, or, you know, even an urgent personal issue if your team member has it in between meetings. It, just because you have a one-to-one, it doesn't mean that you can't be contactable throughout the week or throughout the 2 weeks or however long that time is. And I do think that's difficult for managers. I mean, the managers I speak to are up the walls, back-to-back meetings. They're trying to do their solo work in the evenings or on their lunch break. It's insane. So if you are a manager, I do recommend that in addition to scheduling your one-to-one meetings, you also put in maybe just a half an hour every day buffer for team time. And that's just 30 minutes that isn't going to be taken over by other stuff, so that if your team does need you, they can have a quick chat with you. And you might not need this every day, but oh my God, there'll definitely be some days that you do need it. Okay, so what can we do to elevate the value of our one-to-one meetings across the board? I think it comes down to 4 elements. So the purpose, the people involved, the format or structure, and the frequency. So when it comes to the purpose of the one-to-one, just be honest about what the purpose is. I think depending on your job, it could be 90% discussing the work and 10% discussing personal development and areas for support. It could be flipped in reverse, where it's very little chat about the tasks and the work itself, and mostly about personal development, support and guidance. Wherever it is along the spectrum, it doesn't really matter to me, but it definitely matters to you and to your team members. So be honest with yourselves about that, and then design the one-to-one to fulfill that purpose or to support that purpose. And when it comes to the people in the one-to-one, I know this sounds obvious, it should be you as the manager and your team member, but I've often had 2 managers. So I've had the manager that would be my direct manager in terms of HR, and then I had my manager who managed my work and all of that kind of stuff. So in this case, who should I be having my one-to-one with? The person who approves my holidays, or the person who I go to whenever I have an escalation about my workload? I think in this case, it again goes back to the purpose of the one-to-one, but don't have 2 one-to-ones every single week, because that's going to cause complete confusion. If you're in a triad, which happens every now and again, take the time to step back, understand what you want to achieve with it, and then who the best people in the room are. And just like my second example I gave there at the start, even if the more regular one-to-ones are focused on work, there's nothing stopping you from having another session once or twice a quarter to talk about personal development, and that could be with the other manager. So the people are very, very important. And then we have the format or the structure, and it could be as structured as having a list or an agenda of items that you go through in a certain order every time. Or it could be just like my last experience where it opened with how are you, Niamh, and it could have gone anywhere. Consistency is key here, so that you both know what to expect and so that you can both prepare properly. So I do think that a semi-structure is always good in terms of you knowing what you have to bring, what you have to prepare for, so that the conversation can be intentional. Otherwise, it can just jump around to whatever is top of mind. But that's not to say that it can't have a lot of space. So it definitely doesn't need to be a packed agenda. And then the frequency. So how often is it? I've had one-to-ones once a week, once every 2 weeks. I think if it's once a month, that would work well only in situations where you have other, perhaps team meetings that discuss the day-to-day more regularly and allow you to escalate things up quickly. Because otherwise, how is your team member going to have a conversation with you? Ideally, I think once a week or once every 2 weeks is the way to go. And if they're more frequent than that, again, I'd be looking at whether or not you could combine some of that stuff into a team meeting. I think the benefit of discussing the work in a team meeting is people learn what is on each other's plates. They can maybe offer support to each other and they have that broader context. And just on that, you know, when it comes to the one-to-ones with the different members of your team, they don't all have to be the same length and frequency. So I often see managers scheduling either a half an hour or an hour each week for every single team member. But going back to the three different examples I had, different people in different roles at different levels of experience need different types of support. So you might have one person on your team who's relatively new and maybe they would benefit from a 90-minute one-to-one every week. And somebody else who has a high level of autonomy and you've got a high level of trust and they're very experienced and maybe they only need to check in with you maybe for a half an hour every week and then with one longer meeting every month or so. So really do take a look at who you're meeting with and what time they need and what frequency they need. It doesn't have to be all the same. You know, nobody's going to be questioning why one person has less or more time than the other. It's really about fitting the meeting or the purpose to the person who you're meeting with. So with all that in mind, let's go through a few do's and don'ts of one-to-one meetings, regardless of all of what I've discussed already. So please have a regular schedule, regardless of the frequency, make it consistent. There's nothing worse than you going to work and going, I have a meeting with my manager today. Will it happen? I don't know. It might not. It might get cancelled. And I have something I want to discuss with them, but I don't even know, am I going to get a chance to discuss it? Trust me when I say it creates too much unnecessary stress and anxiety for the member of your team. I've experienced it a lot. And it's not nice, okay? So have a regular schedule and please don't cancel unless it's absolutely unavoidable. And if you do cancel, reschedule it for the next day or as quickly as possible. If for some reason you're unexpectedly away from work for a period of time, you should always have maybe another manager who you can ask to look after team in your absence, even if it's just for the one-to-ones, even if it's just for your team to have someone to talk to. You do want to have a welcoming atmosphere in terms of the one-to-one. And this is whether it's online or in person. And on the topic of online or in person, I don't really mind which one it is. But I would say that if as a manager, you are prone to getting distracted a lot by emails and phone calls and people, you know, looking for attention during one-to-ones, it might be better to do it in person if you can. Because at least that way, then you can be, you know, eyeball to eyeball with your team member and you're less likely to be interrupted. But I think it can also be online, assuming that you're both there, you're fully engaged and you're not doing two things at once. But a welcoming atmosphere is so important to give yourself an opportunity to have a good conversation. And look, I know that it's easy for me to be sitting here recording the podcast saying, have a welcoming atmosphere. And you might have 705 fires to be fighting. You might be very, very busy. You might have your own personal things going on. And so it's not easy to, you know, just turn up as the most supportive open manager all of the time. Oh God, I mean, I've been a manager and there have been days that I've come in absolutely terrible form. And even though I try to protect other people from it, it's very, very hard. Should we pick up on each other's mood? So to help with this, I mean, I can't magic it away. You know, at this stage, I don't magic anything away. But to help with this, it does help to take a small micro break before your one-to-one just to reset. And what I mean by this is taking up to 5 minutes, it can be as short as 2 minutes, just to yourself, to go into the corridor, whether that's the corridor at work or the corridor of your mind, close your eyes and just let whatever's been happening drift away and focus on where you're going next, which is into this one-to-one meeting. And this micro break just affords you the opportunity to step into the meeting with more intention and to show up as the manager that you want to be. So even if you do nothing else, that will really, really help. And then when you're in the meeting, do make sure that you have a balance of discussing progress and the challenges that your team member is facing, because this is their opportunity to have a conversation with you about it. And while your team member is doing the talking, please actively listen. And what that means is no checking emails, no checking your phone, no drifting off in terms of talking about your own to-do list in your head or those kind of things. If you struggle to actively listen, take notes, write down what the other person is saying, and that will help you stay on track. But it's very, very important to listen to each other. Otherwise, the one-to-one is really a waste of time. And, you know, if you're talking about goal and developmental progress, I think that's good to keep an eye on it. As I said in my third example, we would have talked about that a lot. But the one-to-ones weren't the place where the goals were set. That was a separate meeting. And the reason I say that is because if you use the one-to-one as a goal-setting meeting, you won't have time to talk about all the other stuff that needs to be talked about on a regular basis. So just keep it separate. That's all. Now, the don'ts are very, very simple. Don't cancel, as I said already. Try not to be late. If you are going to be late, let the other person know. Try not to get distracted by calls or emails. And please don't micromanage the conversation. Even if it goes off agenda every now and again, there might be a good reason for that. You know, just allow it to flow. It's your opportunity to talk to each other, which is rare when we're always go, 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 go at work. And please don't do all the talking. So if you find that you're a bit of a chatterbox, I'm a chatterbox. I could talk all day long, which is handy for podcasting. Not so handy for one-to-ones when I'm the manager and my team member is trying to talk to me. If you find you do a lot of the talking, take my tip, which is what I do now for nearly every conversation. I let the other person do all their talking first. I don't say a word. And when they're finished, I ask them, are they sure there's nothing else? And I do that two or three times. And I joke, but it's only half a joke really, that because once I start talking, I won't stop. So I let the other person do all the chats first and then I talk, because otherwise I find that I end up monopolizing the conversation. So if you're like me, it's okay. You know, we are chatterers, that's fine, nothing wrong with it. But in this context, do let the other person go first. And then I just have one more point written down here just to cover today. If you finish the one-to-one conversation before the time is up, so maybe you've allowed an hour and you're finished at 45 minutes, don't move on to something else. It can be so tempting when you have 15 minutes left to go, oh, will we review this thing? Or, oh, will we talk about this new project? Or, oh, will we just deep dive into our tasks? But please resist that temptation, because it dilutes the conversation that you've just had. It's much better to have your one-to-one, let it finish early if that's what happens, and then break it off, then to just add in bits and bobs at the end, because you're really, I suppose, not giving yourselves the opportunity to take advantage of that extra space. So that's it, really. In a nutshell, if it's a one-to-one meeting, turn up, be present and listen to the other person, and have a regular structure, even if it's semi-structured. As long as it's the same all the time, you both will know what to expect, which means you can prepare. And if there's anything else that you would like to add in, if you have really good one-to-one meetings and if there's an approach you follow, I'd love to hear them. So as always, you can find ways to contact me in the show notes. I hope that you have found this episode helpful and it will improve your next one-to-one meeting. Until next time, stay well and have a better workday.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Better Workday podcast is about helping you have a better workday. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. You can find our social media details as well as any references from this episode in the show notes.